We welcome you inside the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, listen, the Eagles have two meaningful games here, both for themselves as they evaluate moving forward. And then I think it's a really important time for them to play against two teams very much in playoff contention.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you really have to go out there and be sharp, be focused, and have your best lineup on the field. Agreed?
Oh, I agree. I agree for two reasons. Number one, you want to see what the Eagles have as they move forward. And number two, just for the integrity of the game. With these games as important as they are to Washington, certainly this week, and I think the Giants next week. Now, Dave, you might know better than I. Is there any way that the Giants can be eliminated from playoff contention of any kind, either division or wild card, this week?
I don't know. I haven't really paid much attention to the New York football Giants this week. They have a tough game against the Baltimore Ravens.
You've been more into the New York baseball Giants?
Yeah, the Cowboys have a tough game against the New Orleans Saints, and of course, the Redskins on the road here in Philadelphia. I don't know. I would imagine that there is the Redskins and the Giants split. The Cowboys and the Giants, I believe, split as well. So I think there will be relevance to that last game
there should be,
the Giants.
I'm just saying, suppose the Giants lose to Baltimore.
Are they out? I don't know. Well, it depends on if the Cowboys lose.
Well, it's not just the Cowboys. There are other teams like
Seattle. But in the division, when the Redskins lose on Sunday to the Eagles, so they go to 8-7.
Then that would make the Giants relevant to begin with.
Sure. But the point is, there is something to play for those teams, and thus there is something to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And thus, as we wind it back to number 9, Nick Foles, Merrill, another week later, an up-and-down performance against the Bengals. Has your opinion altered at all on Nick Foles?
No, I think he is a bright young quarterback with a very promising future. I have been very impressed with the way he has conducted himself. He has a great deal of poise. He has an excellent passing platform. I think he throws the ball extremely well. I am not, and I've heard people argue about the strength of his arm. I think he's got plenty of arm.
But he hasn't shown it on the deep ball, so why?
The deep ball doesn't show the arm strength. Any quarterback in high school can loft the ball 50, 55, 60 yards. The arm strength is displayed on the sideline out pattern where you've got to get that ball there in a hurry. That's where you throw the laser. We've seen him throw that.
How concerned are you with the deep ball? He's got to be better throwing the ball down the field, correct?
Yeah, but I've seen him do that often. I've seen him do it in practice. I saw him do it at training camp. He can throw the deep ball.
Can you throw it accurately in stride, players down there catching the football, you know, making big plays, scoring touchdowns?
I believe he can. I don't believe he has yet in one of these games, but that's not something that they do a whole lot. I thought if you want to look at a good deep ball, on the last series against Tampa Bay, he threw a deep ball to Riley Cooper down the middle that just was overthrown, but he put it up there with plenty of arc, and it came down, and Riley extended and just couldn't get to it. But it was put out there and placed out there. I think he can do it, and I think he's done it a lot in his career.
I find this game to be interesting from Foles' standpoint, Merrill. It's the second time around as a starter against the Redskins. Did not fare well the first time. The Redskins have put together some very good schemes and somehow are surviving defensively without Brian Arakpo, Adam Carriker, Brandon Merriweather. I'm really looking forward to it. And in that first game, Merrill, it was all, hey, drop back, get rid of the football, drop back, get rid of the football, drop back, get rid of the football.
Yeah.
I really want to see Nick make some plays here in this game. Obviously.
Oh, I do too.
What's your approach here? Is it just let's go run the offense?
Well, you've got to run the offense.
In other words, I see a quarterback, as much as I like what Nick has done, I see him at times, Merrill, making that first read, getting rid of the football. I'd like to see him.
But I've seen him look off safeties. Yeah. I've seen him look and scan the field and then check it down if that's the case. I think Nick Foles does a lot of things well. This is only his sixth NFL start. You look at somebody like RG3, who has an amazing 104-point-something quarterback rating as a rookie, 18 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. But, you know, from the day he arrived, he was prepared to be the starter. Nick Foles came in midstream, and I think each week he has progressed. I thought his first half against Cincinnati was excellent. I think Nick Foles is doing just fine and is right on track.
I guess I, like every Eagles fan out there, and like you, and like everybody, you want to know at what point do you put the stamp of approval or disapproval on Nick Foles? And do you do that before you go into the offseason?
I think that if you look at what Nick Foles has, all of his assets, I think you have to go into the offseason saying, we have a bright young quarterback, that this is not a priority right now. And I think you have a very solid backup in Trent Edwards. I think he's encouraging. He's got a wealth of knowledge. He's capable of coming in off the bench if he has to and quarterback the team. I think that's
so. You
fine.
don't think that you go out there and make it a relatively high offseason priority?
Unless somebody falls into your lap, perhaps
in the draft or in free agency.
Well, who in that draft?
I don't know the quarterbacks. But I would have told you Nick Foles this time last year. I don't know Nick Foles from anybody last year. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have told you Russell Wilson was going to be what he's going to be. But
he's being used in a Seattle offense that has been built around him. And he's athletic. The Eagles liked him. But he's 5'11". I'll take Nick Foles long range over Russell Wilson.
I've said that. I'm done with the short quarterbacks myself. I want to see a big, strong kid. And
as long as you're not done with the short play-by-play man.
No, I love the short play-by-play man. Merrill, what else is here on offense? Shady McCoy practicing now. We don't really know. I don't think for sure we'll know until the end of the week about him. Do you want to see 25 on the field?
Oh, you bet I do. You bet I do. I've heard people say, put him on the shelf. Don't use him. These games don't mean anything. I want him healthy for next year. Shady McCoy is a football player. This is what he's done. And I've had people come up to me, Dave, and say, boy, I'll bet you can't wait till this season is over. You know, it's going badly. They're losing games. And I say, you know what? I get 20 of these things a year to do. And I cherish every opportunity to get behind the microphone and call an Eagles football game. I love it. Shady McCoy loves playing football. He doesn't want to end the season by missing the last quarter or almost a half of a season. He wants to end up with two strong performances. An NFL player only has so many seasons in his career. He wants to play, and he should play.
Okay. Merrill, I wrote this column earlier in the week here. Around whom do you, as you look forward here?
You were very grammatical. I like that, around whom.
Thank you.
You knew better than to say around who.
Right, around whom.
Very good.
Thank you, Merrill. Do you build this defense? Who do you look and say, here are your building blocks for the defense?
A defense that,
by the way, as we touched on earlier in the show, 35 quarters it is without an interception,
mm-hmm.
34 quarters without an interception. And remarkable.
You know, that's hard to do. I mean, you would think it would bounce off somebody's helmet into somebody's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's an amazing stat.
Yeah, it's a very difficult stat to attain.
It's horrendous, but you may have to go into the record books to find a team that has gone through 8 straight games without one accidental interception. All right, getting back to your question about around whom do you build this defense?
Thank you.
I will start out with one person right here. And that is this year's number one draft choice, Fletcher Cox, who I think is going to develop into one of the great defensive tackles in the National Football
League. Well, there we go.
I think he's that good. I think he is that promising. I think that Trent Cole has plenty of football left.
Okay,
I'm encouraged by Brandon Graham.
3.
The way he has come on.
Okay.
And there are other players
on
defense.
We have time.
I mean,
Michael Kendricks?
I think so. Absolutely.
What's that, 5?
Yeah, D'Amico Ryans.
5 or 6.
Still is a fine football player.
How about the secondary?
Who
do you want back from the secondary? Who do you build? I still think Nate Allen can be a good player, but where is it?
A lot of it. Now, I think he's been better in the last couple of weeks. I think he's played better. A lot depends on the defense as a whole. You know as well as I do that the success of a secondary starts with the pressure from the defensive line. And that's something that hasn't been there this year. And it's difficult to evaluate any safety or any corner when those receivers have that much time. There's not a corner in the world, and I'm talking about the great corners, whether you're talking about, any of the great so-called shutdown corners. If a quarterback has enough time, a wide receiver can get open.
Okay.
And that's the key. To fairly evaluate it, you have to see pressure from the front four.
Back on November 18th, Merrill, the Eagles embarrassed in FedEx Field, 31-6. Do they come out and play with that sense of kind of revenge, if you will, on their minds on Sunday?
I hope so. I mean, I would hate to see Daniel Snyder happy.
Right.
Now, this has nothing to do with the fact that he sits Mike and I in the corner of the end zone.
Didn't even know you were aware. Not even aware of your unhappiness with FedEx Field's but broadcast booth.
So I would hate to see Daniel Snyder leave here in a good mood. I'd like to see them go out there and say to the Washington Redskins, okay, guys, we did our part. Now, go to Dallas and see what they'll do to you.
Yeah.
They'd be the last of the three teams that I'd like to see get in.
The Redskins.
Redskins.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, that's a tough one. I don't like it. Can all three of them tie for the division lead and then just
nobody,
NFL
just nobody goes.
No winner from
we
the
We don't
NFCs.
Want any of you guys.
I mean, the encouraging thing is 8-6. Merrill, the Eagles aren't chasing the murderer's row of football.
You know what the most frustrating thing is, folks? The fact that when the Eagles faced the Washington Redskins down there at FedEx Field, both teams were 3-6 at the time.
Right.
And the Redskins haven't lost since.
Right. They have a sense of believing, and that makes such a difference in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Merrill, enjoy the home finale, 2012. Sad to say.
I will enjoy being out there, and hopefully we see Nick Foles continue to grow, see the defense play well. They played pretty well in Cincinnati. The unfortunate thing is they have gotten into this spirit of giving far too early. And minus 20, you can't go any place.
Minus 22.
When you're minus 22 in turnover differential.
72 turnovers in the last 30
Eagles
games.
And the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, that's why they are what they are.
Yeah.
More than any other factor, that's why they are what they are.
Merrill Reese, we thank you for stopping by.
You're welcome.
In the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.